So what happens when the thing you're called to do goes against everything you believe in? What if a life hangs in the balance? This is the situation Frank Thompson found himself in while working for the prison system in Oregon. Frank is not from the Northwest. He grew up in Arkansas at the height of the civil rights movement. He lived just blocks away from the Little Rock Nine, who helped integrate Little Rock Central High School. When Frank was a student at the University of Arkansas, he worked to integrate that institution. These experiences shaped Frank to his very core.
The murder of Emmett Till and the murder of civil rights workers were very vivid in my mind and in my psyche. And the communities that I associated with or lived in roundly felt that these were such heinous crimes that decent citizens are being killed because of their pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness in this country. They're being killed, and that the perpetrators, that if they were convicted and got capital punishment, it would be a just sanction.
Even as Frank's activism work took a back seat to a career in law enforcement, he continued to accept the death penalty as a fair policy.
I had a cousin who was abducted and killed with his own service weapon. I can remember very well when the guy that killed my cousin was later executed for another crime. I can remember feeling that a sense of justice had been rendered in his demise.
Then Frank went from working in law enforcement to working in corrections. In 1994, he became superintendent of the Oregon State Penitentiary. When Frank was interviewing for the job,
they asked me pointedly whether or not I could conduct an execution. They asked me that specifically, and without hesitation, I told them I could.
When you took that job, there had not been an execution in 32 years.
In 32 years.
When did that change?
It's within the first year. There was an inmate who volunteered his execution. He did not want to exhaust his appeal rights. And with that being done, it sped up the process, and I was notified that I needed to prepare to conduct the first execution.
What was that like when you were first notified by the governor's office? What went through your mind when you received that message or that phone call?
There was just so many things that had to be done in order to take the first step. I need to explain this to you. At the time I got that notice, the Department of Corrections had changed its administrative regulations where executions were to be conducted by lethal injection. The previous form of executions were by gas, but the protocols for doing it by lethal injections had not been structured. So when I got this notice, I had to pull together or become a part of a team who not only had to plan ultimately to take a person's life, we had to write all of the protocols to establish a procedure. If I had taken that job and the protocols were already in place and Oregon had conducted one or two executions with them the past 2 or 3 years, I probably would have walked in, opened the manual, pulled the team, sat down, done our planning, and probably would have gone through 2, 3, 4, 5 executions without really giving that much of a thought. That's the kind of soldier I am or was. But when I got the notice, I was just overwhelmed with the huge responsibility of how to take the first step.
So to give people an understanding of the level of detail you had to zero in on, what were some of the steps, small and large, that you had to be explicit about?
Oh, boy. Well, any execution involves broadly establishing a good public relations program. Then you have to be sure that your institution where the execution is taking place, it has to be prepared for any demonstration on the parts of the inmate populations. Another team I had to have was responsible for building the execution room. Then you have your tie-down team. That's the team that escorts him from the room into the room where the gurney is. You have emergency medical technicians who insert the IVs. And that's just a few. All of that had to be orchestrated in concert for the final act of executing someone.
At some point in this process, did your views on capital punishment change?
It did. I felt a heavy, heavy sense of responsibility, and it caused me to do some real deep thinking about what I was really involved in. And all of the flaws that I was aware of with the death penalty, they just sort of started coming to me very clearly.
Do you remember the first flaw?
Well, in the back of my mind, I knew that death row throughout the country was heavily populated with minorities and poor people and mentally ill. And I knew that there was a likelihood that innocent people were being executed. I also was aware how difficult going through executions were on staff people. I realized that taking the life of this person who was scheduled to die would not make the community any safer. And I consider myself to be a very dedicated public administrator. I don't believe that any public policy should continue to be promoted if over time you determine that it is not accomplishing what it is supposed to accomplish. And here I was training men and women how to go in and take the life of a human being in the name of a public policy that couldn't be shown to work. And I was practically, as a public administrator, offended, and morally, it just reached in very deeply, and I had to come to grips with where I really stood.
And did you have staff members who came to you with questions and concerns?
There were some that said they had problems sleeping. That was an instance where one decided that he didn't want to be involved anymore, and another quietly went on for other employment.
And what did you tell them? Because you were obviously dealing with your own doubts about this whole process.
Well, when I realized that I didn't support the death penalty, I did have conversations with them, letting them know that every stable society needs to have professionals who can do the difficult jobs, and that we are being called upon to do a difficult job.
You stayed on the job, and you carried out that first execution, and then you carried out a second. But if you had those profound feelings that led you to falling down on the side being against capital punishment, why didn't you leave?
Well, you have to understand that conducting an execution is not even 1/1000th of what I do as a correctional professional. At the same time, I had fingerprints going on some programs that are saving lives. And I had a team of people who were putting together programs that will help keep inmates involved, get them ready for being introduced back into the community, and ultimately cut down on recidivism and eventually keep them from coming back into prison and possibly being on death row. So many times in life, you have to weigh the good against the bad. And I imagine if the execution at that point in time overshadowed everything else I was doing as a correctional professional, I might have contemplated that. Soldiers who are in a war that don't agree with, they don't take their uniforms off and bail. They serve with honor and dignity. I think there's another side to that question. How can the community continue sending men and women like myself and expect them to do this kind of a thing over and over in the name of a public policy that can't be shown to work, and then turn around and ask me, how could I do that? It's just not me. It is the entire community that votes for policies like that. And there are casualties. There are the people who've been murdered in the first place that put the person on death row. And there are the men and women who have to carry this out, who suffer PTSD. And there has to be a voice somewhere that steps out and says, whoa, folks, this is not working right. And I'm glad to be able to be, to have a voice to try and challenge people to take another look at what we are doing.
All right. Well, Frank Thompson, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you a lot.
Frank Thompson retired from corrections in 2010. The following year, the governor at the time, John Kitzhaber, he announced a moratorium on executions in Oregon. It's still in effect. Today, Frank Thompson is a member of Oregonians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty.